Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Sunday night, Andy, the Lakers lost their sixth game in seven tries, 121 to 114 at home to the Raptors. Sunday was a bad day. Sunday was a bad day for Laker fans. It was a bad day for the Lakers. It was bad, 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 bad.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty much everything that you could worry about happening with the Lakers, whether you're talking about lingering injury issues for LeBron, potentially even Anthony Davis, the way he's looking, we're going to get into that. New health issues when it comes to Dennis Schroeder, we're going to get into that. Or where the Lakers stand right now in terms of the race for either the five seed or to stay out of the play-in game.
Andy, hold on a second. Are we going to get into that?
We're going to
get into that.
Yeah.
There's a lot to get into. There's a lot. I can't even say where in these three segments this stuff's going to go, because we have other things that we need to cover as well, including Kyle Kuzma suggesting, unsolicited, that perhaps Marc Gasol should be playing a little bit more than he currently is. He didn't say specifically for Andre Drummond. Or Trez or someone, but he suggested that Gasol. You don't hear players make those kinds of suggestions very often.
Or the way AD's playing right front for AD.
Yeah. We have to talk about that. We have to talk about Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis kind of sucks right now. Should we start there? I mean, where do you want to begin? Dealer's choice, Andy.
I think we should start with the overarching issue of health right now, because
one
of the things that had been talked about with the Lakers during this period, the issues that they were dealing with, competing shorthanded, was the idea that they would eventually get AD back. They would eventually get LeBron back. There had been a lot of caution exercised with both of them in terms of the time that they had been off the floor, with the idea that whatever games were lost during this period, wherever they slid in the standings, it would be worth it, Brian, for the idea of competing with a healthy LeBron, a healthy Anthony Davis. Nobody in the league would want to face that team in the playoffs, which is, by the way, 100% true. Unfortunately, it is not looking right now like that version of the Lakers may very well exist come playoff time.
Do want to let you know that Locked On Lakers podcast brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I was thinking about this Sunday morning, and again, Sunday morning, this was before the news that Dennis Schroeder had entered the health and safety protocols, out for Sunday's game against Toronto, presumably out at least for a Monday's game against Denver. I mean, it never works that quickly. You have to have enough negative tests. So that's a thing. This was before LeBron left Sunday's game after re-injuring the ankle, tweaking again, used the term sharp pain.
Yeah, it's not clear whether he tweaked it, re-aggravated it, or it was just bothering him playing on
whatever it was. He left and didn't come back.
Exactly. I just want it for the sake of clarity. Like, it wasn't something where you could see him collide with somebody, twist it, land funny.
No. There was pain. He talked about it after the game. There was pain that he was feeling that he was not feeling during his workouts, wasn't feeling in his ramp up to come back. And so they decided not to bring him back in the game. He was non-committal about playing Monday. Normally LeBron is very much, I'll be fine. I'm going to play if I can play, all that stuff. He didn't, none of that. It was very much, I don't know. And so we'll see how it is when I wake up Monday morning. So that was a thing. And that was before they lost the game to the Sun. I had all of these concerns about whether or not that assumption was going to be something that they could count on. That the idea that they would be able to, okay, fine, but we're going to have a healthy LeBron and a healthy AD. They're not. I think the question at this point is, how close to that can they get? And, LeBron, 80% of LeBron is a clever enough player that he can figure out ways to be really impactful, even if he's not full strength. It's going to make a difference. I don't mean to say it's not going to make a difference. It absolutely will. Sunday in 28 minutes, he had 19, 7, and 6. Did turn the ball over five times. It wasn't a great game for him. But he's kind of got those tricks in the bag. I wondered all season long, though, if AD was the kind of player who could just ramp it up in 10 games, 12 games, 15 games, and get to that elite level, or if he needed a longer runway. And whether it's because of health or just because of how he sort of operates, Andy, at this point, he's nowhere close to where the Lakers are going to need him to be if they're going to win a title.
Yeah, it's really difficult to tell whether this is a physical thing, a mental thing, you know, just pure timing. But he's put up numbers in a few of these games, but he does not look like himself, especially defensively. And it's
yes.
really, really obvious during this period right now where the Lakers' defense has just fallen to crap.
Yeah,
and it's obviously the Lakers have been good defensively all season, and they've done a lot of that without Anthony Davis, you know, either on the court or really playing at his highest level. So by definition, that means the Lakers have been capable of playing, you know, elite level defense without Anthony Davis at that level. But this has been a reminder to me, Brian, that last year's team, what made them truly special defensively, as opposed to just really effective defensively, was all the different things AD can do on that mm-hmm. side of the ball. So if he's not at that level, the Laker defense drastically changes in terms of just all the different ways it can be dangerous, because he was the most unique defender that they had last year playing at the top of his game defensively. So, you know, AD needs to figure out what's going on with himself, at least mentally. And then I guess, you know, the training staff needs to figure out how best to get him back physically. What else is still there? You know, there's the issue with Schroeder right now, and we don't know whether or not this is just proximity to somebody who was positive and them needing to get enough negative tests, like you said before, Brian, just to get on the court, or if he actually has COVID. Either way,
if it's the latter, the Lakers are in real trouble. I mean, because then if it's the latter, it's 2 weeks.
Right. And then there's the period where he needs to ramp himself back up again physically. LeBron was really interesting during this game, Brian, because the first half of it, I kept thinking to myself, he needs to assert himself more. Like, it wasn't even that he wasn't playing well as much as he just felt almost like a bystander during a lot of this game. And even Friday's game against Sacramento, like, LeBron looked like LeBron for the most part physically. And he did some LeBron things, but he wasn't really putting his stamp on the game. And then in the fourth quarter of this game against Toronto, LeBron started really turning it on. Like, he was setting up a lot of different players. He was getting to the basket more, and it was feeling promising. Then he went out. At the time, I think everybody thought just to get his normal rest before he'd go back in, ended up not re-entering the game.
Just didn't come back, yeah.
And it sort of dawned on me, like, oh, that may be the reason why he's not asserting himself. He actually really can't, as opposed to he's either trying to feel things out.
Yeah, because I can see where you're – and because so much of the pattern this season has been, you know, he kind of lets other guys get into the flow of things and takes over more as the game goes on.
Yes.
People accuse, you know, whether it's, you know, writers or media people, like, of generating panic around teams, or particularly good ones. Let's talk about this next, because it is legitimately time to worry. It is, if you haven't done it already, it is legitimately time to worry about the Lakers, because what they are up against, it doesn't mean that they can't win, but the idea that they are just sort of this prohibitive favorite, based on the presence of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I don't think it's going to hold. And for the reasons that we were talking about before. So now you have to ask what comes next, because the rest of the Western Conference ain't waiting around for LeBron and AD to figure it out. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Indeed. If you're the hiring expert for your company and what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates, you need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. post, screen, interview, all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes match your job description. Only pay for the candidates with must-have qualifications. Schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like the Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, or the Indeed Skills Test that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than the other job sites combined. So get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so I've long said that the Lakers entered this season not only as champions, not only with the distinct advantage, Andy, of having LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but there's a real gap between them and the rest of the conference. If you look at kind of just judging on how the playoffs went last year, the Lakers didn't struggle to get through. They did not struggle to win a title. Didn't say it was easy, but you know they were clearly better than the competition. So the conference had a gap to make up. To me, it feels like, Andy, that that margin that separated the Lakers from other teams is gone, because I don't think we're going to see, you know, a dominant, healthy AD in that way and a dominant, healthy LeBron in that. Well, LeBron's not going to be healthy for the playoffs. You can tell that now.
Yeah, he said himself that he was asked directly whether or not he thought that he came back too early, and he was pretty candid when he said, you don't know until you actually get out there. You know, there's a lot of work that you can do with your rehab, with training staff. You know, and LeBron is famously, you know, meticulous about all this stuff, but it's different once you're in games. And as he also noted, when you don't have any type of practices where you can at least attempt to replicate games, because the way the schedules worked out in this compressed year, you know, coming off the pandemic, you have to roll the dice to a certain degree. And even if you're as careful as LeBron and the Lakers have been, you are diving into the unknown. So maybe he did come back a little bit early, maybe he didn't, but either way, I mean, there wasn't much more time that they really,
because you also need to play. You can't just show up on day one of the first round and be like, let's do this.
No. I mean, there needed to be a certain amount of ramp up time, and you know, LeBron knows his body very well, and he's typically been pretty good at recovering from injuries. You know, as far as though the idea of the angst that this team should be feeling or fans should be feeling about it right now, I mean, they are currently tied for that playoff game or the play-in game, I should say. And, you know, I had said before that, you know, I wasn't worried about them falling into the play-in game to begin with, but even if they had, I wasn't particularly worried about them having to deal with it, because the idea of if LeBron and AD are healthy and the rest of this team is healthy, they're going to beat anybody that they would face in that play-in game to begin with. Now that feels like less of a certainty, but also it feels like less of a formality. I mean, LeBron actually said during his post-game press conference that whoever came up with that play-in shit needs to get fired.
Yes. And I think this is actually after he had endorsed the idea a year and a half ago.
I'm not, I've seen both, but to me, that doesn't reflect fear on LeBron's part of competing, but it does reflect the idea of the play-in game being more than, like I said, just a formality or more of just a,
well, I mean, look, if they're in it, and they could be, like, you know, they have a game against Portland coming up this week. If they lose that game, there's a very good chance they end up as a 7 seed. Kuz talked about them after Sunday's game as disconnected. And I think it's a great word. And some people might jump to the idea that, like, there's tension in the locker room or something. I don't think that's it at all. I think he means they are literally disconnected. They can't play the same lineup 3 days in a row. And for whatever reason, a lot of teams have been going through this with a varying degree of success this year. But for whatever reason, the Lakers over this last, 8 to 10 games have had a lot of trouble playing through that disconnected lineup and the nature of these disconnected lineups. And I think too, Andy, the variance in the quality of the play, even of the guys who have been there the whole time, AD's play is inconsistent. Markieff's play is a lot of guys aren't playing consistently either, even if they're there.
You know, it's interesting that period where they went without AD and LeBron for so long, AD like 30 games, LeBron 20 games, obviously the talent gap that they were trying to make up for was massive. And that was very difficult. But what they had to do out there in a lot of ways was pretty simple. Like everything becomes simplified in terms of in terms of what you're being asked to do. Like everybody has to elevate their own level of play. But I think a lot of what's being asked becomes much more streamlined. Ironically, the addition of AD and LeBron, granted in lessened versions of themselves, so it's different than you would normally get with them both at 100%, but the implementation of them has actually in some ways made it more complicated.
I agree.
In ways that I honestly I did not anticipate.
Well, I think that's in part because you bring back the guys who the entire team orbits around these two guys. And particularly in the case of AD, he's not playing well. And so you're devoting an enormous amount of time and energy, rightly, because he's Anthony freaking Davis, to working the thing back around your stars again. Davis is in six games, his net rating is minus 15. His defensive rating is 118. That is awful. Awful for a player of his stature.
And if you're not in the metrics, just watch him play.
Just
defensively, he has been a mess.
And it's the downside to having the stars that you orbit around is when your stars aren't playing well, it's hard to get, like, the plan B isn't like, well, you know what, let's sit Anthony because, Markieff's got it going today, which, by the way, he doesn't, but which is another thing. But so much of what they're going through right now is related directly to Anthony Davis isn't playing well. And since he has come back, he has not played well, even when the numbers have looked good. And, tonight, Sunday night against Toronto, the scoring wasn't there, but he had 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, a block. You look at it and go, okay, he was doing stuff. He was still a minus 11, and he was 5 of 16 from the floor. It's just, it's not there. So, like, the disconnectedness that Kuz is talking about, it's showing up in so many different forms. I can see why they're having trouble, because they're this combination of role guys that are kind of designed to orbit around their stars. Their stars aren't behaving like they normally do. They're in and out of the lineup, but they're really running out of time to figure it out. They're not completely out of it, but even if you accept, Andy, that they're not going to be able to be at a super elite, like exactly where you want to be level, they could still at least be better than this before the first round of the playoffs starts.
Well, I mean, they need to be, or else, I mean, frankly, you might as well go into the play-in game, because it might accelerate your chances of just being eliminated and ending this thing.
Ouch. All right. Kuz had one more really interesting thing to say in his Sunday night post-game press conference, something you don't often hear players do. Kuz did. We'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers, brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. You can track all the action at Bet Online this week. Tons of sports action, a lot of Lakers action. You might be betting on them not to cover, I guess, but money's money. Get all the latest news, odds, info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop, mobile device. Check out all of the next great sporting news. sign-up bonuses, contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Locked On Lakers podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar. I'm a person who habitually snacks. I'm munching on stuff throughout the day. I need things to eat that are good for me, that are healthy, but they also taste good. That's Built Bar. It's high in protein, but low in sugar, low in calories. And the improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. They've got 18 flavors, including six new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. I really like the cherry barcia. I like cherries. Underrated in food. Built Bar, it can also calm my sweet tooth, even without all the sugar, because they're coated in 100% chocolate. And unlike some protein bars, are actually soft and easy to chew and taste good. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So most of the season, Lakers Twitter was consumed, Andy, I would say, with the need to upgrade the center position because Marc Gasol simply was not adequate. He was not going to cut it. He was not going to get it done, despite the fact that his, numbers were, defensive numbers were fine and Lakers had a great defense.
Yeah. I mean, look, to be fair to the people complaining, offensively, Marc Gasol was not living up to expectations at all.
I would agree.
He had become an afterthought in terms of just putting up shots, and he wasn't doing enough.
But most of it, that was not the focus of most of the angst. Most of the angst from you, Andy, you were correct in constantly pointing out to people the problem with Gasol is not defense, it's offense. The problem with most of the attention, I am not overrating this, most of the attention around Gasol from the Lakers sphere was centered around the lack of rim protection or shot blocking. It didn't look the same in the defense, and it wasn't going to cut it. My God, now people want him back, including in the rotation, including apparently Kyle Kuzma, because he wasn't asked about necessarily, do you think Mark should be playing, but was just sort of asked about, hey, what could be some things that could be done to get this ship righted? And Kuz suggested putting Marc Gasol back on the floor. That is not something that you hear very often. I'm not sure what to do. He said, I wish we could get a little more time out there with Mark. That would be something that would be pretty good for us for sure. You don't hear that happen much, where guys suggest that somebody who has been pulled from the rotation be reinserted publicly in a press conference with a team that's lost 6 of 7. Like that,
no,
that got my attention.
Well, I mean, it the part that goes unstated is that Marc Gasol's theoretical trip back into the rotation will come at the cost of somebody else's playing time. And similar to the way, players will never bleep with another man's money, in terms
right.
of somebody else's contract, comment on what they're making. They're going to tell everybody, go get your bag. Generally speaking, players do not bleep with someone else's playing time.
By the way, nobody has ever told me to go get my bag.
Well,
ever. For much of my life, I would not have understood what they meant. I would have thought they literally meant some sort of bag, something to carry.
Yeah, go get
backpack.
Go get your coat back.
Yeah, exactly. Like the thing I got for subscribing to NPR, The New Yorker.
Right. Yeah, weeb. Go get your tote bag and go get yourself some type of snooty coffee drink. But yeah. It is interesting to hear that unsolicited, and it does in part speak to the stuff that is missing with this team right now, which is the defense has been an absolute train wreck of late, and Marc Gasol is somebody that is reliable defensively. He knows the places he's supposed to be. He doesn't protect the lane the way JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard did aesthetically with the high-flying, blocks, stuff like that, but he is very good at being a deterrent.
The end results are very similar.
Right, exactly. And then in the meantime, Gasol, I guess both to his credit or to his detriment, depending on the context, is always looking to move the ball, and the offense could use a little more wheel greasing. The question that would be fascinating, though, to have Kyle Kuzma follow up on, and obviously he would never touch this, but it's ultimately what's most relevant, is where does that playing time come?
Because then that is the natural follow-up, and you say, and he would say, that's really up to coach.
Right.
But then, you were willing to do the other part.
Yeah, I don't make those type of decisions. I just throw out solicitations and then watch the bombs go off.
Right. Some people just like to watch the world burn, guys. Right. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah. And here we go. What would you, okay, if you were Frank Vogel, though, and you were taking this solicitation seriously, how would you go about doing this, though?
First of all, I'd be like, guys, we have a suggestion box for a reason. That's why it's in the locker room. Please leave your notes in there as opposed to mentioning it to the media at large.
But what would you do, though?
Here's the thing. They are related. That Kuz used the word disconnected, I think, is related directly to the idea of thinking that Marc Gasol would be helpful, because Marc Gasol is a connector. He's a connector on defense with his communication and his brain power and all these other things. And like you say, he's a connector on offense, even if he should shoot more. He needs to be more selfish, but he's, you know, that's the function that he serves offensively. And no question, they were playing better when earlier in the season when Gasol was in the rotation. I think it's there could be a causation correlation problem here in terms of just assuming that, you know, Gasol's removal is part of is the issue, because they, you know, Gasol isn't playing 40 minutes a night. He's playing 18, even when he plays. But, you know, you mentioned the defense. It's this was before the Sunday night's loss. 17th over the last 10 games in defensive efficiency. We mentioned AD's numbers. Gasol is one of the only guys on the team, granted he's only played two games, with a positive net rating over the last 10. And it's like 34 and a half. So when he's played, those brief moments where he's played, they've done well. I think that you might need to play. I don't know where, though. Like, if you... At some point, we both believe the Andre Drummond experiment will end if it's not working or Drummond isn't playing well enough. Right now, I don't really think Drummond is the problem in the Drummond-AD pairing. I think it's AD. Much more so. Not that Drummond's been great. I just don't think he's been... I don't think he's necessarily the biggest problem. But I do wonder if you could, at least for 17 or 18 minutes a game, fix a little bit of what is happening or what AD isn't doing defensively by putting him back next to somebody that he's played 30 games with or 20 games with or whatever it was before he got hurt, as opposed to somebody who they're figuring it out on the run with Drummond. I don't think this is ultimately going to make a big, but if you want continuity and if continuity is a problem, then Marc Gasol, his whole deal is continuity.
Okay. With that in mind, because what you're saying makes a lot of sense, actually. Like, in terms of just simplifying the equation, and like you said, Drummond isn't really the problem here. You know, he's an imperfect player.
He's hardly the solution either. Right. I have no, you know,
by the way, just stake in this. Quick note: Andre Drummond is this really frustrating at times, but oddly fascinating player on the court. Like, he's really interesting to watch. Maybe we'll get into that more at length during a different show. But if you were to put Marc Gasol back into the starting lineup to create more continuity for AD and really everybody else as they've reached the, you know, no more time to F around stage of this regular season, do you then put Drummond?
Trez. I bench Trez.
That's what I would do too. I would bench Trez as well, because Drummond has outplayed Harrell.
Yep. And you want to know the only guy on the team with a worse net rating over the last 10 games than Anthony Davis?
Yep.
Montrezl Harrell. And it's the gap between him and Davis is massive.
And for,
they
and
are bleeding points right now with Harrell on the floor, and he's not producing enough offense to make it up.
I would do that as well, too. You could play Markieff Morris, you know, for however many minutes Keith is going to play. You can play him and Drummond together. Drummond is not, you know, by any stretch a defensive stalwart, but he is better. He is better, A, than I thought he would be, and B, he's better than Trez. I would do that too. And I don't think functionally it's going to be that much different for that second unit playing with Trez as it would be playing with Drummond.
Playing with Drummond, playing with Trez. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we'll talk about this over the course of the week. We'll see what happens Monday against Denver. They're going to have a couple days off between the Clipper game on Thursday, and we'll talk to Law Murray about who covers the Clippers for The Athletic. Awesome writer. We'll have him on for Thursday's show ahead of that game. We can ask him, like, which of these matchups, like, are going to favor the Lakers when they play? Does Trez work against the Clippers, which could be an opening round matchup for the Lakers? There's a lot to unpack just from Sunday, Andy. We couldn't get to it all, but it's a long week, and I have a feeling a few of these things are going to continue to pop up. Again, come back tomorrow. We'll be talking about the Denver game and a potential fallout from that. We'll see where the Lakers are in the standings, and we'll see everybody next time.